the word unschooling. Some people have a love-hate relationship with the word itself. Today we hear people talk about the word unschooling. Where did it come from and where is it going? Welcome to the Unschooling Life podcast. First, we hear from Ben Hewitt, author of the book Homegrown.
I don't like the term unschooling. I think it describes, I guess, what we're not doing. It doesn't really describe what we are doing, you know? So I've sort of, in my own small sphere, been starting to talk about immersion learning. It feels like a much more accurate description of what we're trying to do. I do revert back to unschooling. It's very easy, and it's the one that, you know, people seem to know. You know, so I think immersion learning can be done poorly. I really do. I don't think it's, you know, inherently necessarily, you know, a good idea. I think it's a good idea for people who have the time and energy and willingness to invest themselves in it and to facilitate. It takes an incredible amount of engagement.
This is Rick Rosing, who's a writer as well as a stay-at-home unschooling dad.
I'm not a big fan of the word myself. Our family, we're really not. A lot of times people think unschooling means that no education is taking place, no learning is taking place. They think that it's the opposite of school. That's not really what it is. I don't really like the term child-led learning either, because it's not really that either. It's more of a partnership between the parents and the children. My son has goals. He has subjects that he's interested in, you know, things that he wants to pursue. And our job is to try to help him find the things that he needs to achieve his goals. One of the terms that I really like to use is autodidact, which is a nice big word. It scares away people who are asking you questions. Actually, what it does is it either a person who knows what the word means, and basically it's just a fancy word that means self-teaching, or if a person is asking questions but aren't really interested, then that's usually their excuse to stop the conversation if they don't want to know anymore. Sometimes we run into people who want to know what we do, but they don't really. What they want to do is try to convince us that what we're doing is wrong, that we should be like everybody else. So we like the term autodidact, but even that is not entirely accurate, because self-teaching, it's not something that you can do. You can't teach what you don't know, although people try to do that all the time. It is self-learning, though. It's knowing how to look for, how to find knowledge or information that we're looking for. It's kind of more like adventure learning, because we're on a path together. We're learning more than we're teaching. That's something that we can do from the time that we're born until the time that we die.
Robin Coburn has done a lot of writing about unschooling.
I do love the word unschooling. In one sense, it is, yes, it's a reactionary word, because it reacts against the idea of schooling. But it seems to me that whenever I read or hear about some child having some kind of problem, whether it's a big problem or a small problem, or whether they've become someone waving a gun around, or their mother is just grumbling about how their kid won't do their homework, or whatever it might be, it seems to be that all of those problems come back to a child being forced to go to school against their will over all this time. And eventually, if you're unhappy at school, there comes to be a point where you react. Mandatory schooling and the way schooling is the basis of the problems, and the word unschooling is not being part of that problem, that whole world of problems that is created by school. I used to have a problem with the word radical. The radical meaning of radical is going back to the root, but wider world and general public, that meaning of the word is not as well known. The kind of assumed meaning of radical to equal a political extremist of some kind. So when, if you say you're a radical unschooler, they immediately think of you as being trying to change the world and everybody else around you, rather than focusing on yourself. But when I'm talking about radical unschooling with other unschoolers, we have a clear idea of what the word radical means, and it's going back to the root of how learning happens. So I just say unschooling, and I'm happy to leave it at that. And then if someone wants to ask me, I can talk about how it applies to all areas of our life, how it's a lifestyle, and that it's about learning. it's always a warning sign to me, or a little bit of a red flag, when a person says something like, in my unschooling, I dot, dot, dot. That always says to me that they're about to talk about something that isn't really unschooling. It's pointless to engage random people in that. But if someone is a friend of mine and they're using the word unschooling in a way that's setting my teeth on edge, usually I will say that, look, do what you want, but please stop calling it unschooling, because it's confusing to people who actually are interested in unschooling. The analogy I always use is vegans get to define what vegan is, not somebody else. And you can eat a vegetarian diet, but you aren't a vegan while you're still putting honey on your cereal. And then there are even more questions, because the vegan lifestyle forces you to ask, well, am I going to buy leather shoes? Or where is the point at which I won't be buying medicine? So many decisions to make, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it. So someone just, you know, tra-la-la, oh, I'm a vegan, then they haven't put that thought into it, can irritate the people who are going to the full extreme and really being extremely thoughtful about every choice they're making all the time. The people doing it get to define the label, and there's people who spend a lot of time and energy being very, very clear about the label.
This is Sandra Dodd, author of The Big Book of Unschooling. She is someone who's put a lot of time and thought into what unschooling is.
Sometimes the word unschooling is objected to because it has school in it. Sometimes they object because it has un in it. And then I think sometimes people are in the habit of objecting to everything. I think people should relax, use the term as it is, not keep dodging and making excuses. People go, well, I'm not exactly an unschooler. I'm not really an unschooler because I don't want to be associated with that word. And I don't really like the term, but, and they spend about 6 years or 10 making noise about how they're not unschoolers. If you don't choose something that you want to aim toward and look at, you'll have milling around kinds of lessons or not lessons, or you'll be doing what your friend of the month is doing and never creating or developing the kind of life, the kind of calm, everyday activity that produces a really rich learning environment. And then there'll be people who come and say, well, I am a Montessori/Waldorf/unschooler. And I think that's kind of like, there are medieval stories about Vikings, you know, Norsemen, who would convert to Christianity, either because their king had converted or because they got a free shirt. They would say, I'm going to pray to both gods just in case. You know, I go to church and then I pray to the Norse gods, because you want to keep your bases covered. I think there are people who want to keep their social bases covered by saying, I'm an unschooler, but not really, so that the people who don't like unschooling will still be their friends. What they're doing is looking at themselves and their friends instead of at their children and learning. The term came from John Holt. It came from the commercials for the Uncola. Wonderful, wonderful commercial on TV. It's the kind of commercial that people would turn up and stand and watch. Had Jeffrey Holder, who's a Broadway singer, actor. He's really tall. He's really big. He's really black. He has this beautiful accent from Trinidad. So he just has this gigantic stage persona. And he's sitting in a like a peacock chair with a drink, you know, in a white suit and a straw hat. I don't know what all, you know, but there were different ones of them. But he's sitting there, and he's advertising 7-Up. And the advertisement was, this is a cola nut. This is the uncola nut. And he'd show a lemon and a lime. But his voice is so deep and so beautiful. It was just mesmerizing, and it was funny. And then at the end, he would say, 7-Up, the uncola. And then he would laugh, this beautiful laugh. And they had made a Coca-Cola glass upside down. There was a distinctive shape of a Coca-Cola glass in those days for fountain Cokes. If you went into a place and had a Coke, it was glass. And they had made an upside down one, so the bottom's bigger and the top is small. So it looked like a bar drink and everything. It was all pretty, all bubbly, close up, 7-Up. And it was the Uncola. So that advertisement was so popular that in the 70s, when John Holt said, this is the unschooling, everybody would have gotten it. It would have been a reference to something attractive, cute, that everyone knew. But many years passed and that commercial was gone. And you can hardly even find it online. I have one on my site. When that was gone and people who were just born then or not born then became parents, they just complained about it. It's like, this doesn't mean anything to me. And to tell them that whole story and try to find the commercial seems a little bit much. But to people who are older, it makes sense. And he also, John Holt, didn't believe that school was a good thing. He said, above all, don't let your homeschooling become a little school. Knowing what John Holt thought children needed to learn, and knowing that he had chosen the word unschooling makes it easy for me to associate it with the open classroom and the school reform that he had written about in other books and that he was involved in the days that he was still teaching. Sometime at some point, mid-1990s, I was in some discussion, and people were backpedaling on, well, I'm an unschooler, but I'm going to teach my kids to read first, and then they can learn everything else on their own. Or I'm unschooling, but I'm going to make them do math and everything else they can pick up by unschooling. And I said, well, I think once you pull some topics out and treat them differently, you've compromised the whole deal. And you're saying this is important, the rest isn't. You know, that sort of philosophical discussion. And someone said, well, I'm not that radical. And I said, well, I am. And that was the moment that the term radical unschooling came along. So I'm not the first one to use the word, but I'm the one who dibsed it. You know, when somebody threw it out as an insult, I said, I'll take that. I'm not ashamed to say that I am. If we're sorting out unschoolers, I will be the radical unschooler. And at the time, I was not thinking of wild-eyed revolutionaries, not that kind of political radical. I was thinking of all the way to the wall, for real, the whole thing. The root of radical is about roots. The root of the word is root. But it's like the radius of a circle is from the center, from the core of that circle, what grows outward. And so if you think of a sphere having a radius, you know, any direction you go from the center of a sphere can go out past the edge of the sphere to infinity. That's a good image for unschooling. If I always based what I did on the principles that made unschooling work for me, that people can learn, that pressure and shame and testing and fear hamper, which I didn't make that up. I got that from psychologists, you know, Erickson, Maslow, all those guys. If you need a peaceful environment and a happy environment for learning to flourish, and if I believed, as I still do, that all kinds of learning connects together and that it's not good to separate academic from other sorts of parts of the world, then that's the root of what I was doing, and all other things grew from that. And so that's what I picture when I say radical unschooling. And so to see it as something that grows from a root is awesome for me, because as long as it's living and growing and the children are learning, it's still, as big as it ever gets, growing from that same root of belief and philosophy that learning can be easy and fun and perpetual.
Here's Sue Patterson, editor of the Homeschooler magazine.
Unschoolers are the only ones talking about learning without getting caught up in the trappings of school. I think that using the term unschooling within the homeschooling community is going to really help you figure out what to disregard and what to pay attention to. So while you may not use it to the mainstream world, you're going to need it when it comes to exploring information within the homeschooling world, because it's going to help you get to the people who really want to talk to you about learning and how to be successful at it. Now, the term unschooling, it came from the 70s. John Holt was, I think, the first one to use it, and he used it to refer to homeschooling in general. You know, I don't think ever in his wildest dreams he thought that anybody would bring their kids home from school to do school at home. So I think that his idea, you know, lined up far better with unschooling and what we're trying to do. You know, lots of people don't like the term, and they want to call it child-led or interest-led or delight-driven or natural learning, life learning, whole life learning, self-directed learning, organic learning, all kinds of learning. And that's okay, I guess. You know, all of them are. I'm not really crazy about child-led, because I think it gives you this impression that the kids are going to figure out what to do and all you have to do is sit on the side and watch them go. And that's not really how it's going to work. But natural learning, you know, thinking about how things evolve naturally, I think that that's a lot more likely. People sometimes don't like the word because they think it's negative. They think unschooling sounds like a negative word, but it doesn't have to be. You know, un is the negative of the word that it's up next to, not negative in general. So like unrestrained or unchained, unfurled, unrestricted, unbridled, unlimited, those are all positive things. So when we say unschooling, we're putting the negative next to the schooling. That's 100% correct, because that's what it is. It's not schooling. Unschooling is doing away with all of the trappings of school. You know, school kind of co-opted the word learning. We were conditioned to believe that all those things like tests and grades and breaking life into subjects, that they're all what learning is about. But they're not. Learning's about being curious and interested and growing. That's more in line with unschooling. It has nothing to do with the school version of learning, which is teacher-driven, or wait until fourth grade to learn about the solar system, even though there's a solar eclipse today or a meteor shower tonight. Unschooling eliminates all of those schooly things that are more about the bureaucracy of learning. That's what schooling is. I had somebody at a conference last month ask me, what do you think if we could change that word, not be so in your face about it? I think it's here to stay. You know, what if we're saying it's the 70s when the word was first invented? It's about 50 years ago. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But if it bugs you, let it go. Don't let the word have any influence over whether you embrace the principle. Just call it learning. You can simply call it learning. You can say, we do this individualized learning plan with each child, and it's all different. It's based on their strengths and their weaknesses and their interests. It's awesome.
The Unschooling Life podcast is brought to you by Amy Childs and unschoolingsupport.com. Dreams are free.